Ogden School District tries to calm concerns about how they're managing the district. Robotic legs have arrived in Utah that could help paralyzed patients walk. And we share the results of the statewide primary elections. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 14th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Ogden School District Superintendent Brad Smith met with a group of Weber County Democrats yesterday morning who are concerned about how education officials are managing the district. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Back in June, the Weber County Democratic Education Caucus requested copies of the district budget, as well as information from the district on testing data and teacher attrition. Kim Irvine is chair of the caucus. She says too many teachers are leaving Ogden schools because of mandatory curriculum changes and budget cuts that have taken effect since attorney Brad Smith became the district superintendent in 2011.
We're concerned that the ratio of experience in the district is dwindling to the point where there aren't really enough teachers that are experienced enough to mentor these brand new nascent teachers.
Irvine says a new curriculum the district implemented this year means school teachers had to forego their course plans for the year. And this spring, 20 full-time librarians were let go in response to a $2.7 million budget deficit. At the same time, the district successfully bonded to maintain public swimming pools. Irvine says that's a big frustration.
Why does Ogden School District give us a chance to vote on things like repairing the pools and does not give us a chance to vote on budgetary items like do we fire the librarians?
Superintendent Brad Smith agreed to hand over the information the group requested, but he contended 2 years ago his district had 6 of the 10 lowest performing elementary schools in Utah. Now he says they're seeing as much as a 30% increase in student math and language arts proficiency. He credits changes in leadership, instruction, and greater access to student data.
That's extremely painful for folks that have been successful teachers for a long time, and now somebody's coming in, especially if it's somebody from outside education, such as myself, saying, gee, we got to do things differently. That's extremely confrontational, it's painful, it's disruptive, and it's also necessary.
Smith says about 120 teachers have left the district since 2012. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A University of Utah rehabilitation center now has the ability to help paralyzed patients walk again. A clinic in Sugar House is the first in the Intermountain West to obtain a robotic exoskeleton known as ReWalk. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
He's not exactly Iron Man, but when you see Steven Wilson moving around in a ReWalk exoskeleton, it does feel like you're watching something out of a sci-fi movie. Wilson came from Redondo Beach, California to demonstrate the ReWalk at the University of Utah's Sugar House Rehabilitation Center. By tipping his pelvis slightly and using crutches for stability, he's able to direct the movement of the exoskeleton, which lifts his legs for him. Wilson was partially paralyzed in a car accident more than 5 years ago. Then last year, he was introduced to ReWalk.
When I first was injured, I was devastated. I really didn't think I'd be able to integrate back into society and function. Since my injury, I've accomplished a lot of things in a wheelchair. But the one thing I wanted to always be able to do the most was walk again.
I hope to introduce as many folks as possible to walking.
That's Jeffrey Rosenbluth, the medical director of the Spinal Cord Injury Rehabilitation Center at the U's Health Science Center. He says while only a handful of patients have had the opportunity to use the exoskeleton, it has the potential to help a lot of people.
I think what you're seeing, which is already pretty incredible, is really just a first-generation device. I think in the future we'll see all of these electronics shrink. I think really quickly, within the year or two, you'll see regular walking speeds, maybe even faster than normal walking speeds, longer battery life, and hopefully lower cost.
Rosenbluth says the system, which was developed in Israel, costs about $70,000. He expects it to be available in the U.S. private market by early next year. U patient Heather Layton is one of the few in Utah who've tried out the ReWalk exoskeleton.
Being able to stand was really amazing after a year and a half being paralyzed. And the idea that I can do dishes and cook a meal and maybe do my house chores or reach something like really high. I could change a light bulb on my own eventually. It's hopeful.
Layton was studying to be a dancer when her legs were paralyzed in a cliff diving accident. She's training to be able to walk with the exoskeleton and one day hopes to dance again. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Families evacuated yesterday from the Rockport area may be allowed to go back to check on their property this evening after 6, but the area is still closed today as firefighters try to get a handle on the 1,500-acre wildfire, which has already destroyed at least a dozen homes. It was started by lightning. Former state legislator Ron Bigelow finished first in yesterday's mayoral primary in West Valley City. City Council member Karen Lang was the other top finisher with just over 17.7% of the vote, so she'll be Bigelow's opponent in the November general election. Lars Nordfeldt and Phil Condor were the top finishers for the at-large City Council seat. James Rogers and Kevin Park won yesterday's primary election in Salt Lake City's Council District 1 yesterday. Incumbent council member Stan Penfold finished far ahead of Sherman Clow in District 3, 71-15%, but Clow will be on the ballot for the November general election. Aaron Mendenhall also finished well ahead of opponent Bill Davis in District 5, 70-17%. In District 7, Lisa Ramsey Adams and Kevin Paulson qualified for the November ballot. Blaine Anderson and Robert Dahl qualified for the November ballot in yesterday's municipal primary election in Holladay. In Harriman, where incumbent Mayor Josh Mills is stepping down, Carmen Freeman and Michelle Bagley were the top two vote-getters, so they'll compete in the general election. Provo's incumbent Mayor John Curtis cruised to an easy win, winning more than 84% of the vote. Jason Christensen finished second with just under 7%, so he'll be on the general election ballot this November as well. Lehigh Mayor Bert Wilson won his primary contest with more than 57% of the vote, with Bert Hewitson also qualifying for the general election ballot. David Blackham finished well ahead of City Council member Jeff McDonald in yesterday's primary election in Mount Pleasant, 394 votes to 193. Dan Simmons was third with 110 votes, so Blackman and McDonald will face off in the general election. Incumbent City Council member Justin Atkinson won nomination for a second term, but he finished behind Kevin Stallings. Wayne Lee and John Schumann will also be on the City Council ballot this fall. The beavers who saved Willard Bay have been relocated in the Uinta Mountains. 5 beavers were injured by the diesel fuel that spilled from a Chevron pipeline back in March. Their dam was credited with holding back the spill and keeping the diesel out of the reservoir. The beavers have been cared for since by the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, and they were released to their new home in the mountains yesterday. And finally, the AVP Pro Beach Volleyball Tour is coming to Salt Lake City this weekend for the first time. Participants kicked off the events today by joining forces with a local asphalt and paving company to donate more than 1,800 tons of tournament-quality sand to refurbish existing courts at Liberty Park. The AVP Salt Lake Open is the first of 7 stops on the tour and will feature gold medal Olympians as well as local volleyball pros like Jake Gibb and Casey Patterson. While thousands of Utahns are expected to enjoy the action on the courts this weekend, the donation of tournament-quality sand and nets from Staker Parson Companies and the AVP will benefit locals well after the tournament is over. At least that's how Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker sees it.
It's not only big for this event, but we will now have the sand for hosting competitions, to hosting big tournaments here in Salt Lake City.
Workers at Staker Parson took the sand from the mouth of Ogden Canyon and refined it to meet the AVP's strict standards. It mimics the sand found on the world's best beaches. Scott Parson is the president of the company. He says he's excited about the opportunity to contribute to the growth of the sport.
Volleyball's a great sport. We thought as a business, our leaders kind of teamed together, and we thought that this is a great way to leave a legacy for the residents of Salt Lake City in Utah who can enjoy playing here, really play in championship facilities.
AVP's managing partner, Donald Sun, says he hopes the donation of the courts will help foster a long-term partnership with the city. He expects to hold events here on a regular basis. Matches begin at Liberty Park this Friday. The championships will be played on Sunday and will air live on the CBS Sports Network. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 14th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Till next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.